Right, David is going to share with us. Let's just pray God's blessing on him as he shares. Lord, we just pray that you would anoint your servant now as he shares your word. Lord, your word is powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. Thank you that you give us the privilege of sharing that word. Lord, I pray that Dave could share it faithfully, that your words would be powerful as he speaks them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Good morning. We serve a wonderful, big, good God. Amen. It's nice to see Daniel and Sarah here this morning. They had a lovely wedding last week. This morning is the first in a series of God's call to us as a church. Our local congregation, what is it that God wants us to be about in His business, in His kingdom? And we're just going to hit the mountain peaks in one big overview, and then the following speakers from now until the end of January will be developing further the vision that we've been putting in the bulletin each week on the front. And we'll start with that today. God's call to us as a congregation. Can I also just say very seriously something that came out in the prayer time this morning at 9:30? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. What we share today is nothing new. It's the same teaching since the time of Jesus till now. But we share it with the joy and the thrill of feeling the Spirit of God blowing on us in a fresh way. We share it with the purpose of once again focusing us as a congregation, once again fueling our fire, so to speak. Once again, giving us common direction and vision of how it is that we corporately serve the Lord together. God has a mission. He has a journey. And He invites us to be part of it. And what a privilege it is to be His people. What a privilege it is to be His children. He who has an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying. Because in today, you'll hear the Holy Spirit say, a piece of the puzzle that you hold, a part in the kingdom that will not take place without those gifts and talents and abilities that are in your heart being expressed. This is for all of us to be involved in Christ's plan in very different, diverse, creative ways. But each of us has a role. And we're not cookie cutters who all do the same thing. But we all are part of His grand plan. God's call to us. First and foremost, God has called us to be a family. Ephesians 3. The Father from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We are a family with a Father. Our name we derive from Him, His people, His bride, His church. We depend upon Him in prayer. We worship Him in heart and soul. And we represent Him in the world around us. We are His family. He is Father to us all. As Peter says, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we might declare the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His wonderful light. A family that is called in Romans 12 a body, made up of all different kinds of people. each playing a different role. A family that is Christ-centered. The bride. The one that He has purchased with His own blood. We are His inheritance. We belong to Him. We're a family. When we say that we're Christ-centered, it means that we believe what the New Testament church taught in the book of Acts, that there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. No other name but the name of Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in Him everything might have supremacy. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. A Christ-centered church is one that dies to self and exists for Him alone. The one that we belong to. Not only are we Christ-centered, we're a word-based family. The Scripture is our rule and measure of life. The Bible is the inerrant, true, all Word of God. It is living and active. It is sharper than a double-edged sword. The Word of God penetrates, dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." A family that is Christ-centered and word-based finds freedom when we hold to His teaching. Colossians 3, we desire that the Word of Christ would dwell in us richly, as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. That the Word of God would dwell in us. When we talk about discipleship in family forum last week, we talk about developing maturity in the Lord. That doesn't come out of good advice. That doesn't come out of man's strategies. That comes out of the Word of God dwelling in our hearts as we teach one another, as we admonish one another. Out of God's Word as our base, our foundation, what we're created from. A family that's Christ-centered, Word-based, and Spirit-led. Is the sound system working all right? You guys are all looking at me funny.
Maybe you look funny.
There's this intensity that says I either need to calm down or we're all going to get wound up. There is an echo. I thought so. All right. Well, we'll just have to ask that the Lord would help us. Wayne said we're having some trouble this morning with the sound. We're a family that's led by the Spirit. Following the Holy Spirit, the dynamite empowerment of Him in our lives. The privilege of being taught intimately and personally by God Himself. He has not left us as orphans. With just Dad's instruction manual to figure out on our own. No. He's come to us as the Comforter, as the One who is always with us, the One who never leaves us and never forsakes us. The Spirit of Truth who has come to live with us and in us. He's the Helper who testifies and gives us power to testify. to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the one that testifies in our heart and says, "You really are my child." And the Spirit bears witness and fills us with faith and confidence. The Holy Spirit is the one who apportions the gifts, each in its measure, each different, each representing the Almighty God. Each of us carrying a bit of His glory as it's been deposited to us. Each of us contributing to the congregation a bit of who Jesus has made you, so that we might build one another up and come to maturity. Romans 12 and Corinthians 12. The Spirit is the one who brings us life and peace to those whose mind is controlled by Him. Romans 8. But to those whose mind is controlled by the sinful nature, death. But to those whose mind is controlled by the Spirit of life, life and peace evermore. He is the one who woos us and calls us. God's call to us is that we be His family, based in His Word, centered upon Christ, led by His Spirit, for purpose. The purpose of joining His mission, winning the lost. A family that is Christ-centered, Word-based, Spirit-led, and wins the lost. We have the privilege of being included in the mission of Christ. He who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He who came to call sinners to repentance. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Remember when Jesus said He didn't come for the healthy? He came for the sick. He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Serving, giving His life as a ransom. John 20, and He said to us, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As I was sent to seek the lost, so you are sent to seek the lost. As I was sent not to be served, but to serve others, so I am sending you to serve out of my provision. His call is that we be a family that win the lost. We must recognize that our kindest neighbor, our most likable schoolmate or work partner, if they have rejected God's pardon through the sacrifice of Jesus, if they are relying on their do-good self-sufficiency, they will end their life in eternal fire and damnation. This is true. The nicest people we know, depending on themselves, thinking their niceties are good enough, and they don't need the sacrifice of Jesus. They've rejected the one name under heaven by which man should be saved. They look forward only to eternal fire and damnation. This is the future of the lost. God has called us to snatch them from the fire. God has called us to be led in triumphal procession, giving life to those around us, giving His Word, which will be to some, Scripture says, the smell of life, the fragrance of Christ, and to others, the smell of death, the rejection of His Word. But we have the grand privilege of being led in triumphal procession. Who is equal to such a task? A family that wins the lost and makes disciples. We're called as a family to do much more than just make believers or converts. Our great commission was to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations, followers of all nations, those who tag along after Jesus, those who leave the direction of their own will and follow the direction that Jesus leads them, those who leave the direction of what I want and obey the direction of Jesus, to make not just believers of His sacrifice, not just believers that He came, not just believers that He's good and gracious and He loves us, but to make disciples of all men, of all nations, of all languages, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And not just a commitment to follow Christ, but we have a responsibility. He goes on in verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He won't leave us. He will supply us. But the responsibility entrusted to us, His people, His family, is to be a family that doesn't just tell, doesn't just win, doesn't just cause people to believe, but takes the time to teach everything and cause people to obey what was commanded. Discipleship comes with a huge cost. Jesus said in Luke 14, "If anyone comes after me and does not hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." He wants all. Disciples that belong to Him belong 100% to Him. Disciples who are 100% Christ mature and grow up in their salvation and bear fruit according to that for which they were chosen. Disciples who are 100% belonging to Christ. Disciples who place Him before their spouse, their children, their parents, others' opinions. These kind of disciples cannot be bought, cannot be bribed, cannot be tamed, because they're not motivated by the approval of man. But they live, they always live to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God has called us to be disciples and to make disciples. He's called us to be a family that grows and multiplies. Everything about God is living and active. The mustard seed is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. If it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of the garden plants. Like yeast mixed into a small batch of dough is God's kingdom when it enters somebody's life. It grows and grows and grows and affects the whole batch. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He's not the God of the shrinking family. He's the God of the growing family. The church in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5 proclaimed, testified, witnessed to the fact that Jesus is alive. He is risen. The one who was killed on the cross is alive. And great signs and miracles happened. The sick were healed. The demons were cast out. And wicked men persecuted that church. They shared common life with one another. They devoted themselves to prayer, to teaching, to enjoying God's presence together. And the scripture says, more were added to their number daily. In fact, as they begin to send out missionaries to the cities around them, led by Paul and Barnabas and Silas into various cities, it came to a point where by Acts chapter 19, the scripture says that all who lived in the province of Asia had heard the word of God. All who lived in that whole region of Asia had heard the word of God. God wants us to be a family whose homes, whose comfortable neighborhood groups, whose circle of friends are added to with men and women purchased from every tribe, every language, and every people. This is a huge sacrifice. It's a lot nicer to just keep a set of friends and be changed from glory to glory and become more and more godly and more mature and to love each other till death do us part. But the idea of continually adding to that group of wonderful friends, others who are just coming in, it's a pain. I have to retell the story all over again. Yep, I grew up on a farm. I had a red bike when I was 9 years old. And you go through it all over again. But there's great joy. There's great joy, well done, good and faithful servant, in once again risking your heart, once again risking your love, once again risking your emotions, once again hoping for someone and seeing those hopes dashed. Hoping for someone and seeing those hopes fulfilled. Praying for someone and seeing them spit in Jesus' face. Praying for someone and see them come into His loving arms. Our ministry is to proclaim. His ministry is to save. Our ministry is to tell. Our ministry is to love. Our ministry is to open our lives. Our ministry is not to be served, not to be the king that is served, but the one that's so full of His supply that we can keep giving away. Freely we've received, freely give. May He supply us again and again and again to give. His intent, Ephesians 3, is that now through us, the church, His wonderful, manifold wisdom of God, multifaceted, wonderful wisdom of God would be displayed and made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. God's intent is that by living this way, that the angels of heaven would look down and say, oh, look at God's people. They're really doing it. They look like His image bearers. They look like Jesus. They're the friend of sinners, just like He was. His intent is that He would be displayed through us. That Habakkuk chapter 2:14 would be fulfilled, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would fill the whole earth, as the waters cover the sea. While the angels sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. It ain't full of it right now, I tell you that. It's full of a mess right now. But every time His glory fills another person, the waters creep wider and wider and wider to cover the earth. That the whole earth would be full of the knowledge of the glory of God. That He who is bringing all things together in heaven and on earth under one head, even Christ Jesus, that He, the Lamb, would receive His reward, His inheritance, men purchased from every tribe and every nation. The reason for which he gave his life would be fulfilled, and he would receive his inheritance. We have the great privilege of joining him in this mission. And as we do, becoming a family that last of all transforms society. A Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led, soul-winning, disciple-making, multiplying family of God will continue his work of transforming society. We'll continue in the grand plan of bringing all nations to him. There's been a long history of this. We're just one little chapter. Joseph transformed society. Daniel transformed society. Jonah transformed society. Isaiah did. More recently, a man named Gutenberg did, with a printing press that gave God's word around the world. A woman named Florence Nightingale did, and established the profession of nursing in the Western world. A Christian named Robert Boyle, founder of modern chemistry, one of the top 10 scientists of all times, operating on the power of God. A Christian named Isaac Newton with a law of gravity. A Christian named Jonathan Edwards, who in the 1700s, as a young man, sparked what's called the Great Awakening of North America, as city after city after city was renewed. Men turned from alcoholism. Families turned back to one another. Homes were healed. Honesty became a virtue once again. Dietrich Bonhoeffer changed society, confronting both the church and the state about their view of Hitler. We've heard of Wilberforce, who saw slavery abolished through the wisdom that God gave him. Again and again and again, throughout history, the positive changes that have set the oppressed free, the positive changes that have brought value to those who have been held down, over and over and over have come through Christians transforming society as God led them. 1 John chapter 3, we have this grand privilege of joining in the mission of Christ. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. What Satan has undone since the Garden of Eden, God's people have been transforming and renewing and rebuilding and changing ever since. The reason that Jesus came, says 1 John, was to destroy the devil's work. You and I live in a city that's devastated by the devil's work. We are surrounded by his destruction. And Jesus has come to destroy the devil's work in Greater Vancouver. We live in a wicked, foul city. A city where harlots and prostitutes, seducing men from their families and wives, are promoted as a legitimate industry and workers. A city where this week 200 drunken teens at a party brazenly threw beer bottles at the police and had to be driven away with helicopter support. What kind of a city is this? A city where this week the local newspaper considers it positive, newsworthy information that one of our local strippers is offering the women of our city an exotic goddess night, giving all of you mainstream women the opportunity for pole dance and lap dance lessons. That's our newspaper. A city where husbands and wives do not keep their covenants, and were plagued by the financial cost and the outfall in society. A city where corrupt businessmen in huge numbers bypass local labor laws, do not pay their employees what they are required, and then deal in cash only to evade taxes, taking advantage of the rest. We live in a city where the mentally handicapped are turned out on the street to fend for themselves amidst the homeless and the addicts. We live in a city where the perversion of God's design is celebrated by a whole week-long festival, Gay Pride Parade, with our mayor and our dignitaries in full support. We live in a city where our elected men and women spend millions of dollars every year to entice foolish gamblers to part with $2 billion each year to support our clubs and our sports and our festivals. Yes, this is beautiful Vancouver, voted number one over and over as the most livable, wonderful place in the world to live. And it is. But it's also the Sodom of Canada, more than other cities. Satan rejoices in the havoc that he's wreaked. Satan rejoices in the wringing of hands and shaking of heads and the dismay. What are we going to do about this? Satan rejoices because God's creation, mankind, His image bearer, the bearer of God's image Himself, has turned to perversion and lawlessness and is reaping the results of corruption, loss, and death. Psalms chapter 2. Ah, but the one enthroned in heaven, the Lord scoffs at them. He laughs. Then He rebukes them in His anger, and He terrifies them in His wrath, and He says, I have installed my king on Zion's holy hill. He's not moved by it all. He's on the throne. He's not wringing His hands and shaking His head and shooken up about it. God Almighty has a king. His name is Jesus. He is installed on His throne. Isaiah chapter 9, and of the increase of this king's government and of His peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of the government, the rulership, the lordship of Jesus, and of the increase of His wonderful peace, there will be no end of it increasing and increasing and increasing. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The long-suffering, compassionate, gracious Father in heaven, He has a plan for us, His church. He has a plan for this mighty family. We who are seated in the heavenlies, we who are full of grace, full of forgiveness, full of love, full of power, His plan is that we will transform this world one soul at a time, one philosophy at a time, one family at a time, and you and I each have a specific part to play in seeing this happen. See darkness, Isaiah says. Darkness right now covers the earth. A thick darkness is over, let's say Vancouver. But the Lord rises upon you, His people. His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light. Kings to the brightness of your dawn. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. As you live in His way, covenant love between one another a body, each of a part working together, nations will come to your light, as they did to the light of all the previous Christians who transformed their worlds. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon Jesus. He is anointed to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent us. He has been sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness the prisoners. Jesus has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus has come to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. Jesus has come to give us a crown instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of despair. We will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord, a display of His splendor. You and I will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. We will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Isaiah 61. May God help us to be His family. Christ-centered, based in His Word, led by His Spirit, winning the lost, discipling them, growing and multiplying, and seeing our communities transformed. God help us all.
There's a few months worth of sermons packed into one. And Dave and others are going to be unpacking some of those things he said about being Spirit-led, winning the lost, making disciples over the next many weeks. But still, I want us to be able to respond to that. There's such a powerful challenge we're the family of God, and there's a world out there that needs to be transformed, even if it's just one soul at a time. And maybe let's just stand, and if we can just, one or two of us, could you pray out, Lord, this task is huge, but we want to commit ourselves to being your family and your church. Would one of you or two of you like to just pray from where you are, from your heart, just, yes, Lord, we want to be this family that you've let us hear about this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. As we dismiss, just three things. You may want to come up here for prayer if there's a need in your life or just a desire to go farther with God. Tony and Verena and others will be our prayer team, and they'll be up here, and there'll be people who would like to pray for you. Come and visit our school table, or come downstairs for coffee and fellowship. And just in closing, may God build us into a family that is Christ-centered, Word-based, Spirit-led, that wins the lost and makes disciples, that grows and multiplies and transforms society. Amen. Let's worship Him.
Thank you.
Riches I need not, no man's empty.